It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Trace Yeltz, along with State Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader. And there's a lot of talk about the economy. We don't talk as much about what's going on in the state of Washington as far as the economy is concerned, but it certainly is important to legislators. But right now in the state of Washington, how would you describe the economy?
It's really hard. There's a lot of factors, as you know, but I would say we're certainly plateaued, and I think there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that we're drifting downwards. I mean, we will know that, you know, as the next revenue forecast comes out. But, you know, one of the challenges, you know, we had in this last session was our economy had plateaued, that we weren't getting the growth we have historically seen. And, you know, over the long period of time, our state has seen about 4.5% growth in the economy, and now it's down closer to 1%. That's why we came in with such a big shortfall in coming into last session, and from, you know, spending on anticipation of growth and not recognizing, even though the signs were clearly there in the earlier revenue forecast, that we just weren't going to have the type of growth we've had. And I think that's continued, maybe gotten worse. I know as I talk to folks around my district, especially in construction, folks aren't as busy as they would like to be.
Why is that? There seems to be a demand right now, especially for housing.
We're in a housing crisis. We do not have enough housing for all our state's population. That has driven prices up everywhere from Seattle to Southwest Washington to Eastern Washington. Prices are high. Many young folks can't even afford to buy their first home because we don't have enough. And yet we've seen this depression in construction. And it started last year. And it's, if you look deeply into the state economist's forecast, you'll see that's a big contributing factor to his, you know, decreasing expectations out into the future. And I think there's a simple reason, is we have regulated the construction out of our state to a certain degree. It's not very eloquent to say it that way, but we've essentially made it so difficult and so expensive to build housing that people are deciding to do other things, including leave our state because we're not building enough. We are hundreds of thousands of homes behind what we need. There's lots of studies out there that say we're 200 or 300 homes behind, that we need another million homes by the 2040. There's, you know, no real disagreement on the need. What the Democratic majorities seem to fail to understand is they have to create the environment. You know, the state can't build the housing that our citizens require. You have to create the climate, the economic climate, the regulatory climate, the energy stability climate that allows our builders to go out and be successful. And they're doing just the opposite. We spent a bunch of time this last session working on housing bills, and there's all these little tiny tweaks on the margins that will probably at some level help, but nothing big, nothing that's going to say, oh, hey, we now want to invest in Washington, that we're going to build in Washington. Instead, the Democratic majority kind of skirted the edges of real reform. And then on top of that, they added the rent control bill, which I understand the demand for that. Rents are out of control in our state, but well-known, not partisan, economists of every stripe agree that price control is bad for supply, and it has already and will almost and inevitably lead to less building of housing in the future, and that's bad for everybody.
When we talk about the economy in Washington, right, two things jump up at you. One is tech. You look at Microsoft, and it seems like they're doing great. They're spending a lot of money on AI. Their sales have been really good. But at the same time, they've been laying people off. It's an interesting dynamic with tech now. How do you think that industry is doing? It's such a huge part of our state economy.
Well, there's lots of, there's no one single factor. And I think that your reference to AI is something many of us are concerned about. I'm not as worried as some. I think there will be some job loss because of AI. I also think there'll be enormous job gains because of AI. I think we do need to be careful, but I'm not super worried about that. I think the bigger issue you got to worry about when it comes to organizations like Microsoft or Amazon or others is the tax environment the Democratic majority has put them in. That was an all-out assault on the tech industry this last session. And while we were able to beat back some of that, the signal was sent that Washington and the Democratic majority in Washington's legislature no longer really wants tech here. They were very aggressive in promoting taxes that were specifically aimed at the tech industry. And here's the thing about the tech industry. They can go pretty much anywhere they want. You know, have laptop, will travel, as they say. They can go and do a lot of their work anywhere in the country. And historically, Washington has been a great place to do that work. It's, of course, beautiful here. We have a lot of great natural wonders in our state, but it's also a pretty attractive tax environment, one that certainly wasn't free. There were certainly taxes, but one that was competitive with the rest of the country and the rest of the world. We're no longer in that situation. We've dropped to the point where we are not a friendly place from a tax standpoint, especially for the tech industry. And I think they're just making choices to go other places. We saw this a number of years ago when the city of Seattle put what they call the jumpstart tax. It was really a payroll tax on the tech industry aimed specifically at Amazon. And they picked up and moved tens of thousands of jobs out of Seattle across the lake to Bellevue. Now that the state Democrats and the legislature have sent the signal that they're willing to do the same thing across the state, I have no doubt tech industry is quietly thinking about where else they can do business. And that will have an enormous impact on our economy, not just in the central Puget Sound, but across our state.
Yeah, speaking of tech, one of the things we've seen more and more of, especially in eastern Washington, are these data centers, these server farms, essentially. They're super important for AI. There's going to be a lot more of a need for them, and they need energy, right? And one of the attractive things about Washington is we have the fairly inexpensive hydroelectric energy. President Trump has said that this idea of getting rid of the dams in the Snake River is no longer something that's being considered. But where is Washington as far as energy is concerned?
We're not in a great spot. You know, we have historically, as you say, been in a fabulous spot. We have abundant hydroelectric power that is also relatively inexpensive. We've had some nuclear, some gas, and some coal. And the last one in our state is in my district, literally just across the hill from where I live, and it's going to shut down this year. And while that may be a good thing overall, it's been particularly hard on my community in terms of asset value and property taxes. But the most important thing for long-term for Washington and Washingtonians is that we have adequate energy supply over the long term. And frankly, the Democratic majority continues to stand in the way of that. We are frankly going to be in an energy crisis. Maybe some would say we already are, because we keep taking kind of legacy power offline, either in our state or like we used to get a lot of power from Montana. We've taken a lot of that offline and we have not replaced it. There's all this talk about we're going to replace it with solar or wind power, but the truth is we're not there yet. We're not even close to there yet. And we're faced with real shortages in the near future. And that's before you even talk about AI and the data centers necessary to run that. And so I think we got a real problem. We have not been responsive. It is hard to build big projects in Washington. Our government has made it difficult, costly, and timely. And we have a lot to build if we're even going to keep up, let alone get ahead. So I got real concerns on the energy front. I think that's going to affect our economy. And when just wrapping this back to data centers, data centers have, you know, of course, they're important whether you're doing something on your mobile phone or your computer, if you're using AI. But they have another really big importance in our communities where they exist. They add tremendous asset value and therefore property tax that supports public services like our counties, our fire districts, our school districts, our library districts are all supported by property taxes. And data centers, where they exist, are a huge part of that. If we don't put ourselves in a position to continue to build those, and ideally build them more broadly distributed around the state, we're gonna suffer a real setback economically.
Boeing seems to be improving. They went through a very difficult time, for sure. but they seem to be on the uptick. You've said before that you look at other states and the top employers oftentimes are, you know, university systems or hospital systems. But in our state, it's still Boeing, right? Is the top employer. They drive a lot of the economy, especially in the central Puget Sound region. How do you see the future of Boeing going?
Well, actually, I think that's changed in the last year or so. I think Amazon is now our state's top employer. Boeing is number two, which means we're doubly lucky, in my view. Where other, as you mentioned, it's true. Most other states in the country, their top employer is either the largest university, the largest healthcare system, often a nonprofit, or sometimes Walmart. We have two of the nation's biggest and most successful companies right here in our state, and they are the top employers. And if you look at their pay, it is among the best in the state. Sometimes in blue collar work, sometimes in very technical work, in the case of Amazon. But these are good paying career type jobs for people across our state, and frankly, we're making it pretty hard on both of them.
How are we making it hard on them?
Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier. The tax situation, just a reminder, the Democratic majority passed and the Governor Ferguson signed what was nearly $13 billion in new taxes over the next 4 years. That's nine plus billion dollars in new state taxes and just over $3 billion in new local taxes. That is far and away the largest tax increase in our state's history. I don't know the exact math off the top of my head, but I'd say it's probably 4 to 5 times the biggest tax increase in our state's history, and all in 1 year. This is a big burden for folks to shoulder, and it's hitting folks at all levels, from tech to manufacturing like Boeing to the average consumer in the form of food prices or childcare prices or transportation or gas. This is a tough thing to put on people who are already kind of maxed out and where an economy had already plateaued, and they laid this enormous new tax burden on. So that's the big thing, and it's a very, very big thing.
You hear a lot of people out there who are struggling. Maybe they aren't at that poverty level yet, but they're right on the verge of it, right? And while most people are working, employment has been pretty strong in our state, and wages have gone up. I mean, but still, because of inflation, costs have eaten away at those increases in pay. Two things here. One, is the legislature doing things to make that situation worse for those people? And two, is the legislature going to be able to afford to help those people in the future?
Simple answers are yes and no. Yes, they are making it worse every time they pass new taxes, every time they pass new restrictive regulations, every time they change the rules on energy supply or use. It makes it more expensive to live here in Washington. And no, the state can't afford to pay all, you know, to fix this problem. Government is not the solution here. Government has an important role to deliver needed services to vulnerable people, to folks who are truly in need. But if everybody's in need, we simply can't afford it. And that's where we're headed. And this is the part that really motivates me and kind of fires me up, is they continue to do things that attack the working middle class. I mean, it's the folks who aren't getting help from the state, who are shouldering their own burden and going to work every day, raising their kids, supporting their community, and they continue to put more taxes on them, more regulation on them, take more out of them. And you mentioned two things I want to highlight. One, I already talked about taxes. Almost all the taxes that were put in place, and it's a huge amount, by the Democratic majority this session, were regressive, meaning they hit people hardest at lower income levels. Meaning if you're making it, but you're just making it, you just took a hard hit from the Democratic majority in the legislature. And two, you mentioned inflation. We talk about regressivity when it comes to taxes. What the Democrats don't always understand is inflation is very regressive all by itself. It by far hurts the poor and the working poor the worst, and they continue to do things that are going to drive up inflation. The overspending that we have seen in the last 5 or 6 years from the Democratic majority is a big reason inflation has jumped up so far and so quickly, and that's taken money out of people's pockets, even, as you say, when their wages are going up. Wage growth in Washington has been pretty good. We're making progress there. Unfortunately, much of it is being undone because of inflation, additional taxes, and additional cost of living.
Democrats in the legislature, as you said, raised taxes to pay the bills this last session. But it seems like the bills are still going up, and maybe some of these costs are overblown, but they're going to be some costs from the federal government. It's going to be, the budget's going to be a challenge. If you aren't willing to cut spending, and if you need to spend more, aren't Democrats going to say the only thing that you can do is raise taxes?
Look, you can't solve the problem Washington State has by raising taxes and spending more. You can't. There's no way to solve an overspending problem with more spending. I think that's pretty common sense. You can't, whether it's your personal budget, your family budget, your business budget, your nonprofit budget, your state budget, if you're overspending, the idea that you're going to spend more and that's going to solve your problem is just wrongheaded. We're going to have to live within our means. And here's the good news. You can do that and still deliver the important necessary services to vulnerable people across our state. You just have to not spend more money. And that's really what, when you get right down to it, that's what the Democratic majority did this session. We came in with a $6.7 billion deficit over the next 4 years. We had some revenue changes and it grew to $7.5 billion over 4 years. That sounds like a lot of money, but that's out of roughly $150, $160 billion spent. So it's not a big percentage. And what did the Democrats do instead of trying to work within the budget, live within their means, not overspend? They drove the spending up to $16 billion. They more than doubled by spending on new things that we didn't need. We it's much more important in my mind to maintain the services we provide to our citizens than try to go buy some new shiny service that we don't need today, especially when you're in the money crunch we are in. So the idea that we're going to somehow spend more and not have the situation next year and pay for it with billions of dollars in new taxes and not see an impact to our economy that's going to have, you know, put negative pressure on revenue for the state, I think it's just foolhardy. It's a hope and a wish instead of a real plan. What we really have to do is get down in the budget, work on controlling the growth in spending over time. We don't have to make big draconian cuts. We just have to manage spending and not keep spending on things that aren't needed by our citizens.
It's unclear exactly where the national economy is going. You know, some people say, well, you know, there's a possibility of recession. Other people say it's going to be just fine. Some people say inflation may continue. Some people say, you know, there may be a one-time hit, a bump in inflation. And then it's hard to say, right? I mean, if you look at the national picture, exactly what's going to happen. Regardless, there's going to have to be, well, there already is, I mean, nationwide, some belt tightening happening. You keep on talking about what needs to happen. Do you think that Democrats, in your dealings with them, understand that reality at this point, or do they still have their heads in the sand, so to speak?
Well, I think there are some that recognize this, some that just, you know, can, you know, understand, have some level of understanding of economics and see we're headed in the right direction, and good for them. Unfortunately, there's a core group of hardcore progressives slash maybe socialists who think that, nope, we just have to tax more and spend more to get ourselves out of this. And it's wrong. It's not working now. It's not worked anywhere else in the country or in the world, and it won't work here in the future. And we'll have to see. We're going to have, a real challenge on our hands last year or next year, because I think there's a core group, not a majority, and I don't even think a majority of the majority think this way, but they're very aggressive, very assertive, and they're very wrong about what needs to happen to fix this problem. And they're doing real damage to our state long term as a result.
All right, we'll end it there. It'll be interesting to see, because like I said before, I think there are still some question marks exactly what's going to happen with this economy in the in the future. And so, you know, we'll probably have some answers to some of these questions pretty soon, but these are all things that you'll have to be dealing with in the next legislative session come January. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus.